There's been a lot of talk and ink spilled in our local media lately about Columbia's business loop. Business owners along the loop are aiming for a sales tax to enhance the roadway. Business allies envision updated infrastructure and buried utility poles as a way to make the aging commercial corridor more appealing to businesses and shoppers. Well, things look old because they are old. Before the roadway was Business Loop 70, it was Highway 40, the first interstate to bisect Columbia. My name is Trevor Harris. This is KBIA, and on Thinking Out Loud this week, we go back in time for a tour of old Highway 40, including the businesses and personalities that sprang up along that roadway. From west to east this week, we'll learn about businesses like the Wigwam Inn, Allstate's Villa, and Sorrell's Garage, an architectural and social history of Columbia's Highway 40, now known as the Business Loop. That's this week on Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. On this week's Thinking Out Loud, I went looking for and found a trio of current and former business owners to talk about their buildings, their businesses, and their memories of life along old Highway 40, what is now known as the Business Loop. We start the conversation this week with Richard Sorrells, working from a 1954 Columbia phone book. He reconstructed for me a map of businesses that were operational in that year along what was then Highway 40. It had been constructed in the mid-1930s and operated as the main interstate through town until Interstate 70 replaced Highway 40 in about 1960.
I'm Richard Sorrells, and I'm retired, and I was in construction. Yeah.
You have an interest in Columbia history. Why is that?
Well, I've been here all my life, I guess. One good reason, and I've always been... Well, older you get, the more interested you are in history, I think. But that's kind of the way it is.
Have your history studies been for your own, like your own edification, or have you written things?
No, just my own, mostly. Okay. And I like to share it. Yeah. But just from memory, more or less, and also an old telephone book I have gives me the more exact addresses and what have you. But the business loop was always my main street, really, for me in town. But, and we lived not too far from the old 40 at one time when we moved to town from out in the country.
Now, you told me before that your dad had a shop.
Yes.
So where was your dad's shop? Was it Sexton?
It's almost due south of here. You know where Toys R Us is?
Yes.
We're directly across 70 from Toys R Us. State Farm Insurance was there for years before that. Yeah. We were there about 50 years until retired. Yeah. I think Extended Stay Motel is there now.
So was your shop like the last shop on the way out of town?
Yes. Yeah, on Old 40 it was.
Yeah. That's lifelong Columbian Richard Sorrells there, remembering Old Highway 40. Built in the 1930s, Highway 40 connected Columbia to Kansas City and to St. Louis. The two-lane roadway brought truck traffic and tourists through town and provided college students with an alternative to arriving via the Wabash or Katy Railroads. On Columbia's western edge, where Highway 40 left town, was Sorrell's Garage. The business sat for 50 years at the western end of Highway 40 in Columbia. That location is just west of the main entrance to Columbia's Cosmo Park. When Sorrell's Garage fixed engines along Highway 40, mechanics there could regularly look out the doors and see planes departing from the Columbia Municipal Airport, which was located on the grounds of what is now Cosmo Park. The airport packed up and headed to its present location in 1970. When we met, Richard Sorrells brought a picture from the early 1930s that shows the airport's first owners, flanked by a trio of mechanics.
We plowed snow on the runways with our motor grader when it needed some extra help. And that was cold. We didn't have a cab on our motor grader. And nothing to stop the wind out here. But this is Alton Brothers that started the airport.
Lifelong Columbian Richard Sorrells also recalled that people didn't just drive their cars to old Highway 40 to have them fixed. They also went in search of entertainment.
Well, there was a lot of drive-in restaurants and nightclubs and what have you along that area. Of course, theaters were downtown. They had drive-in theater out here that's attracted attention.
Here, Sorrells talks about what it was like to drive along Old Highway 40, which was not at all like the interstates to which we have become accustomed today.
When you were driving out of town on Highway 40, what was the road surface like? Was it four lanes like Interstate 70 is now?
Oh, no. It was two lanes, just like this. Yeah, it was concrete. Yeah.
And people were going as fast as they could in opposite directions?
No speed limit. There was, some truck traffic, and the trucks, weren't like a car. They had to gear down to go up hills, and traffic backed up. Today, it'd really be a mess, but then there wasn't that much traffic. They didn't have shoulders till later. Well, it's like a lot of the, hard surface roads out in the county. They're in the ditch is right there.
There actually remain quite a few Columbia buildings that date to the Highway 40 era, that is, built between 1930 and 1960 along the roadway where it ran through Columbia. These include institutional structures like Hickman High School and Mizzou North, the former Ellis Fischel State Cancer Hospital. Those structures dominate Columbia's Business Loop 70 today, but there's less descript buildings such as Mugs Up and the Arrowhead Motel that remain as a reminder of an era when Columbia was half the size it is now. As establishments along the business loop do now, shops along Highway 40 catered to locals and to tourists alike. While most Highway 40 era businesses cater to working class families, the Pierce Pennant Hotel decidedly served the upper crust. The main building from the Pierce Pennant is today the Candlelight Lodge. It's located across from Memorial Cemetery, just east of Cosmo Park.
And they had a nice canopy out front, pumps and service aisles, Sinclair products. And down here, they had a place to wash cars and also to grease and service your car while you were here. I think there was about three or four bays there where they could service your car. And they let you park in the basement, and it was heated.
That was Richard Sorrells. He is a lifelong Columbian and former co-owner of Sorrells Garage on Old Highway 40, now known as the Business Loop. Our focus this week on Thinking Out Loud is an architectural history tour, as it were, of Columbia's Business Loop, running from west to east. Next, we visit with another retired business person who has memories of life along Old Highway 40. It's Martha Griggs. Her family owned three businesses along the highway as it bisected Columbia. Griggs recently talked to me about her memories dating back to the mid-1960s, memories of her family's boat and tackle business and their liquor store that her parents owned, located near the present-day roundabout at Creasy Springs Road and Business Loop 70 West.
I'm Marilyn Griggs, and I've lived in Columbia ever since I was 15. I stayed home with the kids when they were young, and then I went to work as an accountant, and now I'm retired. And I'm still doing several things, but nothing tedious or hard to do. Very easy things.
You're enjoying retirement.
Pardon me?
You're enjoying your retirement.
I am enjoying my retirement, very much so, yes. My grandchildren have gotten big too quickly, though. I thought they were much more fun before they discovered girls and boys, so they liked Grandma much better then.
I was told that you were part of a former business that existed along Old 40. Can you tell me what that was?
The business that was on Old 40 was called Teepee Town and Chubb's Club. Before we bought the business, Teepee Town was a sports shop mainly. And then they included liquor because the sports guys had to keep warm, of course, when they were out in their sporting events. But they had lots of boats, lots of guns, lots of those kind of things to begin with. But by the time we got it, it was mainly a liquor store. There were a lot of fishing rods left over, which we just sold out and got rid of. And Chubb's Club has always been a bar. At the first time, it was a 3-2 beer bar. So that means no hard liquor was available in Columbia.
Where were these stores located at?
They were where Right now there is a hotel there, and right next to it there is a strip mall right across the street from Memorial Funeral Home, and more so the graveyard than the home.
Okay, so this is more where Played Against Sports used to be.
Yes.
In that strip mall.
Yes, somewhere along in there.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly, but that's pretty close.
So in your earliest memories, can you describe to me what was it like when you walked in the door of TP Town?
Had lots of windows. I remember that. And it was basically like a liquor store of today, only not as much variety. It was mainly, the more popular items. We had very few imported beers or anything like that. Yeah. The prices were fantastic, but in those days, of course, they were high.
So in the 1960s, a business that was located where we're talking about on the western end of the business loop, just past the West Boulevard roundabout, that was out in the country. That was the edge of town then.
And that was the very edge of town, yes, yes. Because at that time, where Hewlin Lake was, that was in the country.
So would people stop at TP Town and Chubb's Club on their way out of town? Was this sort of a last stop on your way west?
Well, I don't think it was really that kind of place. I think Chubb's Club was more a working man's bar, and TP Town was probably the same. It was more the blue-collar workers coming in. They knew everybody. We knew them. It was more a friendly atmosphere than the last place to stop. Yeah. A draw of Michelob was a quarter, so it was a very popular place. They didn't really want students with them. They were more the working guys, and they didn't want to be shown up or something. I don't know what their real classification was, but they didn't want the student trade. We didn't have hardly any students. It was mainly just the working people of Columbia.
So you were young, obviously. You didn't spend a lot of time drinking at Chubb's Club.
No.
But do you remember the environment and what it was like?
Yes, I remember there was a pool table in the back. I did a lot of the bookwork. That's my kind of specialty. But I remember there was a back room that had a pool table. I remember that we had jukeboxes. We had a cigarette machine they raised it to 50 cents a pack back then. So that was quite astounding that people would pay that much for a cigarette, but I understand it's a lot more now. But anyway, and then we had a bar, lots of tables. It was just regular little bar.
So you said it was sort of a working man's bar.
Yes.
Where did the clients, where did they work then?
It was mainly construction workers. I can remember early morning we would sell a lot of small bottles of booze from TP Town. I know because in the inventory, I remember we had to keep quite a bit of those in. Your guys that were going out in the cold weather especially would take that along for refreshment. Yeah. So to keep them warm, of course.
So these were folks maybe that were building houses in Parkade subdivision.
Could have been, yes, because that was a fairly new subdivision then. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when Columbia got liquor by the drink? Do you remember what year that was? I remember when we got liquor by the drink as doing the book work, we bought a liquor license. We bought all of our stock of alcohol that we, of course, didn't carry. And I remember the first week we were so busy. It was such a good novelty thing for people of Columbia.
So what was the alternative before a bar sold liquor by the drink?
You could buy just beer, 5% beer or 2% beer. And in the bar, we never allowed them to bring alcohol in. But like if you go to a restaurant, you could bring your bottle in, and the restaurant would give you your ice and your mix. And then that was how you drank when you went out to eat in those days.
Setups, as they call them.
Yes, correct, yes.
So was that a common thing that somebody would walk into a restaurant with a
yes.
half-empty bottle of booze?
Yes, it was common then, yes. And you could have open bottles then so that you didn't have to always take a fresh bottle and drink the whole bottle.
With liquor by the drink, was that universally popular? Were there people that were not happy with that turn of events?
Restaurants were happy because they could get more revenue then. The setups were very expensive, but the drinks, of course, brought in more revenue. There were a lot of people against it when the vote came up, thinking that, you know, we'd become all alcoholics, but it didn't happen, of course.
It just gave the alcoholics another opportunity.
Yes, that's it. And to say the least, most of the restaurants were very happy that it came through also, yeah.
Did the clientele change over time, or did your family just decide, well, we're done with doing this, or did a developer come and say, I'll give you great money to buy it?
Well, when we bought it, the gentleman's name, his nickname was Chubb, and so it was a very profitable business, but he was having a lot of health problems, so we just bought that. And then later we bought TP Town because they wanted to go out of business also. They wanted to retire too. So we bought them both, but mainly just for the financial gain. We really didn't think of it as being a business like a retail business. We thought of it more in the food line and that kind of thing, as opposed to a retail business.
It sounds like it was a family affair.
Yes, my mother was in with us, yes, and I. My husband at the time was on the fire department. He's the captain of the fire department, and he did not want to participate much in the bar business, so which is fine. He liked the farm, and that was good.
That was longtime Columbian Martha Griggs reminiscing about TP Town and Chubb's Bar, establishments on Old Highway 40, now Business Loop 70, that were owned by her family. On this week's Thinking Out Loud, we're talking with Columbians who have memories of the landscape of Old Highway 40. Moving east down the business loop, Richard Sorrells recently recalled what was located where Aldi's sits today.
And where Aldi's is, that's where Coats and Whitesides was. And before that, it was Swabie's store, and that's where the Swabies live.
Head further east down the business loop, and you'll pass Mizzou North, opened in 1940 as a state cancer hospital for Missouri. The seven-story structure was recently reinvented as an office building for a growing University of Missouri staff. A block east of Mizzou North is Ennis Appliance. It was in that structure, in the 100 block of Business Loop 70 West, that older Columbians may recall longtime family-owned hardware store Schaefer Cotter's Hardware. Again, here's Richard Sorrells.
So what could you get at Schaefer Cotter Hardware? Tell me about that store.
It was a general hardware.
Oh.
Yeah, most everything from fishing equipment and guns and just nuts and bolts, nails, general hardware.
Gary Ennis owns the building that housed Schaefer Cotter's Hardware. It sits between modern businesses Carlitos and the increasingly renowned Loop Liquor. Ennis talked to me recently about how his business, Ennis Appliance, has worked to fit inside of a structure that dates to the 1950s or maybe earlier, and that was built in waves.
So for folks who don't remember Schaefer Cotter Hardware, what was that store like?
It was the old-time hardware store. You go in, get anything you needed, and you had people there that would help you. If you needed something for plumbing, they would tell you how to do it and find the parts for you and send you home to do it.
So you inherited an important space in Columbia history.
Well, it was important to the people who had used it, yes. And Lee Schaefer Cotter, who owned it way back, he thought it was very important, but it has some history to it, yes. From what I understand, Lee Schaefer Cotter was married to the daughter of the Blackmores, and they owned all this property, and Lee Schaefer Cotter built the building in sections. He would build a section, and then as the business went, he would add on to it, and as it was added on, the store was expanded to the south, and it would be expanded probably many times over the years, and every time they expanded, they would drop the roof line so that when you walk in the front, it's a pretty high ceiling. By the time you get to the back, it's barely above your head. But it's been here a long time, and they've done a lot of business out of this building. I would say the original building would have had to go back into the 40s.
Buildings that occupy old spaces often don't measure up when it comes to modern building codes. Gary Ennis talked to me about how proposed updates to Columbia's zoning code of ordinances would make it impossible for him to rebuild should the need ever arise. Buildings constructed in the 1940s simply didn't need to accommodate the number of parking spots, for instance, that modern commercial structures are expected to provide. Again, here's Gary Ennis from the Business Loop's Ennis Appliance. When he mentions the CID, that's the Business Loop Community Improvement District.
Well, at our last meeting for the CID, we were talking about the new zoning rules. And for a building the size we have, which is almost 8,000 square feet, they said that we would need, by the current standards, 40 parking spaces, and by the new standards, 20 parking spaces, which I think in front of our store we have four. So if something happened that our building was destroyed and we had to rebuild it 100%, then we would have to allow the additional parking under the new codes, and there'd be no way to do it. I mean, you couldn't rebuild the building. You'd have to build a lot smaller building and probably set it back 40 feet to build a parking lot.
Let's hop back in the time machine to 1954. Richard Sorrells is a Colombian native. He's got his hands on a phone book for Colombia from 1954. He used that phone book to reconstruct for us a map of businesses that lined Highway 40, where it ran through Colombia when it was the dominant road of its day between about 1935 and 1960, before Interstate 70 replaced Old Highway 40. There were numerous lodging options along Old Highway 40. Colombian native Richard Sorrells here recalls a tourist camp that was located near the intersection of Old Highway 63 and Old Highway 40. That intersection would have been a busy one, considering the convergence of two highways.
All states, they had, I don't know whether it was 48 cabins, but it had double, but they were all named after the states, 48.
And that was it. Where that was at Range Line, and
it's Old 63 North and the Business Loop. And they redid Providence or Third Street. I think we moved around 9 houses, but a lot of them were small. Yeah.
How long did it take to move a house?
That's Business Loop Community Improvement Director Carrie Gartner. She came along for the ride with Richard Sorrells and I.
Well, it was according to the house. First thing you had to do was get timbers on it. You jacked on the timbers. So sometimes, if it didn't have a basement, you had to dig a trench and slide the timbers under there, and then dig a hole, put a jack underneath.
Goodness.
Yeah.
So where within Columbia do you remember moving houses from and to?
Well, over on Michael Street, we had 3 houses we moved. One on Jackson, and one where the Parkade Drive-In Theater was. We moved a house from there over on Madison Street. And, we moved, well, the ones down on, at, I guess, the old Sears property, we moved one over on Ash. But we moved one of those out on Michael. We tore down several houses. We moved a lot of houses.
Here's Richard Sorrells recalling the machine shop of Early Ogden's, which was located on the eastern end of the business loop, then known as Highway 40.
We'll pass by Mr. Ogden's machine shop, or where it was on the business loop. He built his first car in 1907, I think it was. But he was over at Montgomery City at that time, and then he moved to Columbia. And this is a picture of him here. He was quite a machinist. Yeah. I remember being in his shop. I was probably 12 or 14 years old then.
Early Ogden.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's an interesting story about he built his car, and he was in Wellsville, I think, and a fella come along, wanted to know directions to Montgomery City. He said, well, follow me, I'm going there. So he took off and left him in the dust. An hour later, that guy got to Montgomery City.
Earlier in the program, we heard from Martha Griggs. Her family owned and operated Chubb's Bar and TP Town, both located on the western end of the business loop, or Highway 40, as locals often referred to the roadway before 1960, when Interstate 70 was still fresh. Griggs' family held down enterprises on both ends of the early business loop. Behind what is now the Haithman Village Shopping Center stood the Haithman House. Again, here's Martha Griggs.
I know where Haithman House was. We had that for a few years. I know that was open. It's now where Anheuser-Busch is. And it still is open like that. And the Coronado Club used to be there, which is now Jack's. And then there was a real pretty little gift shop, antique shop gifts, and it's a bar now, so it all changes. Yeah, not sure good or bad, but it changes.
So you said that the Haithman House, mm-hmm. you said you had that for a while.
Yes, uh-huh.
What was that?
It was a restaurant. It was more of a fancier type restaurant. We did a huge football business. It was when football games were all in the afternoon, all at the same time, and people always stayed and ate, and our business was huge for that. Lots of parties and lots of business like that.
So where was Haithman House?
Where was it? Mm-hmm. You know where Anheuser-Busch is now? You know where Jack's Club is? Jack's Restaurant?
Haithman House sat in that field.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's right where it is now. There used to be a lake, and the Haithmans lived right by the little lake there. Now it's offices and buildings there on both sides of that street.
So the building is gone. Haithman House building is gone.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you describe for me what the building was like?
It was a real older house, very in that, kept it in that time period. They had the flocked wallpaper and all that good stuff. Yes, and the Haithman family had that whole area there and lived there. His name was Shorty Haithman is what they called him. And then they opened up Shorty's Chicken place right there. And then there was a Gerb's grocery store there. And then Gerb's has moved further north.
What does the future hold for the modern business loop? Gary Ennis is making his living in a building that dates to the Highway 40 era, that is, between 1935 and 1960. He'd like to see modifications to the way cars access his appliance store.
Our business, I think, is going to be a destination, so people will come here. So we have to make it as easy in and out as we can. I mean, there are some things out in front with the median and stuff that is really outdated because the only thing it does now is grow weeds. I mean, the median out there could be changed to where they can put a turn lane in and really make it a lot more accessible for everybody. But it's a state highway, so it probably won't get done too soon.
There he said it. It's a highway. The business loop remains a Missouri Department of Transportation property largely maintained by the state. That's just how it was back when Highway 40 was the interstate that cut through the edge of Columbia. Take a walk, ride, or drive down the business loop and look for Highway 40-era buildings. They're there, sandwiched in between more modern structures. There are probably many people in town that I could have talked with for this story. Also, there are certainly other voices that could tell their stories of life along Highway 40, life before the business loop. Perhaps that's for another time. My thanks to Richard Sorrells, Carrie Gartner, Martha Griggs, and Gary Ennis. Past episodes of Thinking Out Loud are archived online, ready when you are. Click on over to kbia.org to find those. We'll be back with another episode of Thinking Out Loud next week. For the show's executive producer and Raisin Bran aficionado, Darren, two scoops in every box, Helwidge, my name is Trevor Harris. Thanks for listening to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA.